Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
KGMZ-FM and HD1 and KGMZ San Francisco, 95.7 The Game. Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Guy says 1.2 million, you immediately get sloshed. Oh, you don't need 1.2 million to get sloshed. As a matter of fact, I just told you, I won nothing on Derby Day, got sloshed. There you go. Welcome, welcome. It's great to have you here. Hopefully you had yourself a really good Monday at work, and now we got to talk. We got to talk about how break glass in case of emergency is what Steve Kerr decided to do after a disappointing Game 3 no-show. He decided he was going to light the fire underneath his team by going with a doomsday device right from the get-go. We saw Curry, Clay, Draymond, Andre Iguodala, and Kevin Durant in the starting five for the very first time. And look, whatever you want to call it, lineup of death, the doomsday, the Hampton Five, whatever. I don't care what you call it. Call them champions, because that's what they looked like. A 37-22 first quarter. It was all a matter of time after that. New Orleans would spend so much energy trying to catch up, and they get close once, but even though they got close, they were done after that. In about 17 minutes on the court together, the death lineup was plus 26, and what do you know, they won that game by 26 points. Needless to say, Kevin Durant had a transcendent scoring night.
Durant at the elbow now, turns, step back off the dribble, and he's got it going right now in a big-time way.
He was very good, Tim Roy. Thank you very much for the call. Durant finished with 38 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, whatever he want. He got it however he wanted to do it. He did. The only guy who was holding under 40 was Steve Kerr, who sat him down when that game was in pocket, which happened very early fourth quarter. Steph Curry at 23 points. He only had 2 assists. The good news is he was moving very well again. He looks like the Steph Curry before Steph Curry got injured. There is no oddness to the gait with which he's running. There's no wincing on the stopping, the starting, the conditioning. Looked very good. Good to have Steph Curry back in Steph Curry mode. Draymond Green, 8 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks, 1 technical foul, total disruptor. Love that guy when he is there to collect bodies, which he certainly was. Andre, an understated but very effective performance. 6 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, a block, 0 turnovers. All kinds of just experience out there. An active hands.
Anthony Davis high in the air. Chest pass to Moore, who leaked out. Batted out of the air by Iguodala. He wasn't even looking. Draymond Green takes it. What a play by Andre.
You don't need to suspend reality to assume, hey, Klay Thompson's going to hit a few more shots the next game around. Well, if he does, good luck to you, New Orleans, because Klay did not have a very good night offensively. 13.7 rebounds. He only had 1 turnover. But look, this game was a laugher without Klay hitting shots. If Klay just hit a few shots, this thing is a real laugher. So it was great to see the Golden State Warriors looked. The Golden State Warriors, because it's the playoffs, just played their best game since they eliminated the Cavaliers last year in the NBA Finals. It was their best playoff performance since the night they won the championship. It was the sort of performance that makes you think, Houston, you have a problem. Let's do this. It was bordering on unfair at times, and what we saw out of the Pelicans in game three made you think that, well, all right, New Orleans has got some of their playoff legs underneath them now. They figured out the Warriors just a little bit. Of course, Golden State's going to win this series, but it might be more competitive than we assumed after two wins. Nope. I don't think so. I'll be real surprised if there is a scenario that has the Warriors getting on a plane to head to New Orleans instead of Houston because they lose tomorrow night at home. It feels like it's about to be over. And it feels like Gianna, even though these two kids just got engaged, we're going to send out the save the dates. We're not ready to send out the actual invitations, but we're sending out the save the dates because it looks like our Western Conference Finals, Golden State versus Houston, will be a reality. Cleveland versus Boston looks like that's going to be a reality too. We've got the 76ers and Celtics in an elimination game right now. A little bit later on, an elimination game for LeBron James.
It's going to be James.
Oh, here it is. It's under, it's
3 seconds to go. Throws up the floater. Oh, yeah. Good night, Cleveland. That is for you.
Another transcendent performance from LeBron James. Hey, you might want to double him, Toronto. Might want to just throw a couple bodies at him. I think he's going to try to win the game right here.
Sixers, by the way, leading right now, 88-73 are in the fourth.
All right.
So
maybe the Sixers can stave off elimination another day. If Houston wraps up with the Utah Jazz and the Warriors wrap up with the New Orleans Pelicans really quickly here, Monday, next Monday, a week from today, would be game one of the Western Conference Finals. Do it.
I'm ready.
Do it. I'm ready. I'm ready. And what's much more important than that, the Warriors are now ready. They're locked in. They're feeling it. And I want to talk about Draymond Green 4 a.m. text messages. Kevin Durant, obviously, he spearheaded that Game 4 victory with a game-high 38 points. He was amazing. All of this prompted by Draymond Green. An inspiring text message to challenge other Warriors. He, after Game 3, told ESPN he stayed up watching film. He cannot sleep when they lose like that. And he sent what he describes as an earmuff, kids, long-ass text message to Kevin Durant. He had to let his teammate know how he felt at the moment. I had to challenge him to be who he is. I had to tell him. I didn't see him attacking. I didn't see him being aggressive enough on both ends of the floor like we need him to be. I don't hold back. When I see something's wrong, I voice my opinion. There were no hard feelings. We're just trying to win a basketball game. Durant wakes up a couple hours early. He gets this impassioned plea to be more aggressive via Draymond's text message, and he writes him back, "I got you." Which is not, what if he just wrote back like, "Sure."
One word. Well, he only did text three, but "I got you" is like, "I got you. I understand what you're saying. I got you." He did. It
what
worked.
What if he wrote back, "Mind your own business. Don't tell me how to play harder. I'm Kevin Durant." What if he texts in a bag? He's like, "I don't give no damns about no Drake night." I would love to see that text message, by the way. I wish I could read it to you right now. I would almost open up the text line, the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, and said, "Send me a duplicate text. What you think you can reenact the Draymond to Kevin Durant text?" I'll try to look at it this way. Leave out the F words for me, and maybe I'll feel comfortable reading them on the air.
Okay.
I'll tell you what he probably texted him. I don't know exactly what he said, but here's the thought. "You're Kevin Durant! You're Kevin freaking Durant! Do you realize that you just had 22 points on 8 of 18 shooting? How do you only take 18 shots in 35 minutes when we're losing by 19, Kevin?" Yeah, Steph Curry. We know. We've heard it all before. Love the guy.
First name Stephen, last name Curry. He came into my life. Now everything is less blurry. Oh,
but you're Kevin Durant! Go be Kevin Durant tomorrow. You know what? Why don't you wake up tomorrow morning as Kevin Durant and stay Kevin Durant all day long? I love it. I love it. I wish I could see the actual text.
I love Draymond, though, for just being up at 4 a.m. texting his teammates.
Just getting angrier and angrier, wandering the French Quarter, just swearing at people.
Some passion. Man, that guy has a lot of it.
Wouldn't it be great if Draymond were just out wandering the French Quarter, picking fights with drunks?
God, no.
Who wants some?
Well, at least he wasn't on Snapchat, so that's good.
Draymond, the game ended 4 hours ago. He's walking around. He's got his full jersey on, full uniform, walking around the French Quarter. Just calling people out. I love it, man. I love angry Draymond. Hey, Damon, hopefully this wasn't the text. My bad. That was meant for Snapchat. Oh, thank you. Little Day Day.
Oh.
So the Warriors break out the doomsday device. We finally see it at the start of the game. Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Andre Iguodala, and Klay Thompson. We've heard so much about these guys. Steve, how did it happen?
Obviously, it is our best five players. You know, so if you can get to your best five players, you know, that's what you want to do. I didn't feel comfortable doing it last game. I wanted to continue to bring Steph back a little bit before we got it going, because a lot of the small lineup is based on the high screens with Steph, and I wanted to see him a little bit more. I thought tonight he made a breakthrough conditioning wise, and he was moving much better than he was in game three. But you know, you're on the road, you're threatened, you put your best five guys out there, and they start like that. It sets a great tone.
Certainly set a great tone. Again, 37-22 after the first quarter. That was a tip to whistle victory. Pelicans never led, not for a minute, not for a possession. Very, very good for the Warriors to look that good. Not that they need self-confidence. They don't. They pretty much know who they are. The question is, will they be who we know they are tonight? And the answer, hell yeah. Hell yeah, they were. Got some really good should have been Kevin Durant's answers. How about this? New phone, who dis? That would have been a great reply. Hey, Damon, what if the text was, we sure need po' boys before we leave New Orleans? And Durant is like, I got you. Hey, Damon, I think you wrote, everyone has an off night, KD. I'll see you at practice. Are we talking about the same Draymond Green? There is no way that text didn't include at least three mother you-know-whats. At least three. I'll set the over-under on F-words in that text at three, and I'm taking the over. I think the over hits easily. I think the over hits by the fifth sentence.
It was definitely probably a very passionate text.
I love it. I love it. Damon, imagine you're stumbling down Bourbon Street, drunk, minding your own business, and then in full Warriors uniform, Draymond comes up flexing, screaming, and one in your face, and just moves on. That'd be great. That's when you turn to your wife and you're like, I told you you'd love New Orleans, honey. You never know what's going to happen. By the way, I wonder how our guy, the guy who won the flyaway contest,
oh, yeah.
The Alaska Airlines flyaway contest, I wonder how our guy did.
Zatan,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sure he had a great time because he went to Sunday's game.
He did. He actually, I believe, is flying back today. I think they tacked on another day.
That's cool.
Hell yeah, it is.
Good game to be at, seeing the death lineup.
Good to see the death lineup. Much better to see the death lineup than hear any death threats. Unfortunately, that became part of this post-game storyline, too. Some absolute yahoo that I can't even believe we're almost dignifying this with a response, but we sort of have to, because here's the thing. We decided a long time ago that there's no wiggle room on death threats. You're not allowed to make them. They'll never be funny. You can't even make light ones. You can't even make ones that we don't take seriously, because by definition, we have to take all of these seriously. What really happened was some yammering Yagoff was probably 3 or 4 beers into his afternoon online and thought he'd get a little cute, clever, stupid, I don't know. Draymond pretty much blew it off as nonsense and just said, you know, we got to, you know, who are you? Take a look at your life if you take sports that seriously. Come on.
Yeah, I heard about that. No, I don't. You know, if he feel the need to do something like that about basketball, then I feel bad for him. Kind of sad that someone would take this that serious. You know, when you're talking, at the end of the day, what's the game? You know, making death threats, talking about life. And I just pray that he gets the help that he needs. Because I personally, number one, don't worry about it. Number two, don't care that much about it. Now, I care a lot about basketball. I don't care that much. And so, being that, you know, we're in it every day and we're literally blood, sweat, and tears in this every day, and it don't matter that much to me, it shouldn't matter that much to him either. So I just pray that he get the help that he needs.
By the way, there's nothing shuts down some Yahoo just like, you know what, I'm going to pray for you.
That works.
I'm just going to pray for you, moron. I tell you, Draymond Green is doing such a great job in this playoff, not taking the bait of that the other team is just putting right in front of him every single chance that it gets. Again, don't worry about Draymond Green during live action. Worry about Draymond Green when the clock is stopped, when you got guys walking to benches, when you got guys hanging around the free throw line, when you got guys assembling at midcourt. Like, that's when you need to worry, because that's when Rondo, Mirotic, all these guys are out there just fishing for the right sentence to make Draymond lose control, pick up a technical, which, honestly, he did. It was not the best. It's not a technical to be worried about. It was one of those like, oh, come on. That's not a technical because Draymond did something inappropriate. That's a technical because Draymond's reputation got him a quick tech with that official. It wasn't bad. And come on, whatever Draymond Green goes to bed mad at, do it again. Like, seriously. The team chef ruined Draymond's dinner. Do it again.
Keep him angry.
Somebody took his favorite stuffed animal out of his locker. Do it again. Somebody decided that they didn't like his DirecTV commercial and made fun of him. Do it again. Whatever it takes to keep Draymond angry, studying game tape and texting teammates at 4 a.m., that's what I want. That is what I want, and I bet you that's what Steve Kerr wants too.
You know, the lineup worked or whatever, but it's not about the lineup. It's really not. I mean, it's about how hard guys play and how focused they are. And the effort at both ends tonight was night and day from game three. And I thought our guys were just dialed in.
And that's all Draymond. That's Draymond texting guys at 4 a.m. That's Draymond with whatever he said at halftime, before the game, during the game, during a timeout. That guy is the pulse, the heartbeat of this team, especially in the playoffs. I mean, God bless KD. God bless Steph Curry. They will never be the vocal leader on this team that Draymond is. And what he's been doing defensively is really, really something else. And then what do you know? When he starts getting loose offensively too, what a difference it makes. How do I know your team's in trouble? Because Draymond's also hitting threes.
Curry low with the dribble. Off the screen by Draymond. Passes cross court and hit the deck. Goes to Iguodala. Up top, Draymond launches and buries a three. It's 20-6. And we're halfway through the first quarter.
Like I said, last night you had so much Kevin Durant. There was nothing the Pelicans were going to do to slow him down. His shooting elbow. Like, he's taking the shot. He's in the first motion of his jump shot. His shooting elbow is above the head of anyone defending him whose name isn't Anthony Davis. How do you stay in front of that? You can stay in front of that all you want. You can't reach it. You can't reach it. It's the item on the top shelf you need help with at the grocery store. You can't reach it. Go ahead. Go ahead, try to defend the top shelf of a grocery store. How you doing?
It's not going to happen.
How you doing over there? I mean, this guy put Drew Holiday through a "you're not tall enough to guard me" clinic, and then he put more through it. He just went through every defensive wrinkle they threw at him. It didn't matter to Durant. He was locked in. He was aggressive. And when that's happening, that's it. That's it. They didn't even play as good as they can play. And that was the best game they played since they were in the NBA Finals. So I don't think this is going back to New Orleans. Hopefully, John Dickinson remembered all of his Chargers when he was checking out of his hotel, because I don't think we're sending him back there. And unfortunately, my friends, there's another thing we're not going back to.
Done scoring!
Oh.
Say it isn't so.
Breaks my heart. Really, really does. I might have to hop on the Golden Knights bandwagon. But it's all over for our Sharkies. It's better to have Donskoy and lost than to never have Donskoy at all.
Donskoy!
Thank you for the memories. Another playoff run comes up just a little too short for the Sharks. Hey, Fleury was fantastic. Really looks like this Knights team's got something going for it. So, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? If Joe Thornton had been out there and healthy, is that enough of a difference? You'll never know. But we say thank you and we say au revoir to our NHL team. And we will see you again soon another day, my friend.
Done scoring!
That's the way it goes. One last dancing bobblehead tribute.
Hey, Sharks fans, learn to dance like me. Get a Donskoy bubble waste ticket back when we face the Avalanche on April 5th and take home a dancing Donskoy.
I miss him already.
Oh.
I miss him already. Good news if you are a baseball fan here in the Bay Area. You had a good weekend. You didn't lose once over the weekend as a Bay Area baseball fan. We saw the A's get a sweep. We saw the Giants get a sweep. And what do you know? We are out on the road as far as the Giants are at the Phillies tonight. We've got the A's hosting the world champs. The A's have won 4-6. The Astros have lost 5-7. Dallas Keuchel. He goes against Brett Anderson tonight. Keuchel is 1-5, and his ERA is under 4. He is tied for the American League lead in losses with an ERA under 4. Sounds like a tough luck loser to me. The guy's had 4 total runs of support in his 5 losses. So we'll see if the A's can continue to keep their bats hot. Like we said, the hottest man on planet Earth, Jed Lowry! Keep it going, buddy. Keep it going, buddy. Speaking of A's baseball and Warriors basketball, tomorrow, Gianna, let's do our duty. Let's keep those roads clean and traffic moving.
It is going to be jam-packed. He's got a 7:30 tip-off for the Warriors. He got a 7:05 first pitch for the A's, and it's A's and Astros, obviously a Warriors playoff game. So take Bart, get out there early. And I just actually got a press release from the Warriors saying, hey, don't forget to remind everybody. So they're expecting big, big crowds. So
right. It's not one of those A's or an afternoon game and no. A lot of people are going to be leaving the time you're getting there. No, there's going to be a lot of people getting there at the same time. 7:05 A's start, 7:30 Warriors, right? It's about that. Obviously, exactly. Other NBA games could affect the starting time by a handful of minutes, but make note, if you're driving tomorrow, leave yourself plenty of time. Best idea is probably going public transit and rocking BART the whole way through. What do you think about the Warriors now? Are you feeling, are you just ready for the Rockets? I think I'm ready for the Houston Rockets. I think I'm ready for the West Coast version of the NBA Finals to finally play itself out. Not that Houston's on the West Coast, but you know what I'm saying. I'm ready. I hope you are too. 888-957-9570. We're going to be talking plenty of baseball a little bit later on with John Morosi. Some very good news on Johnny Cueto, who does not have a torn elbow ligament, but he's going to need 6 to 8 weeks, excuse me, to go ahead and heal this. But when Dr. James Andrews says you don't know surgery, it almost feels like another win to tack on to the Giants' winning streak. Sadly, we got some bad news about Stephen Piscotty's mom, who passed away last night. Gretchen Piscotty, 55 years old, died last night in her home, Pleasanton, California. She was surrounded by Stephen and the family. They were there with her when that happened, and that is very good news. ALS is a horrific disease that spares no family. Doesn't care how much money anybody might make. It's savage. And if you live long enough, you will see someone you love affected by this disease. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to urge you, if you can, to help make a donation in the Piscotty's name to Fight ALS Therapy Development Institute. Right now, you can make a donation at youcaring.com/Piscotty. Go ahead and make a donation if you can. Youcaring.com/Piscotty. This goes for ALS Therapy Development Institute. It's where the families requesting memorial contributions be made. So if you have the means, if you can, the A's issued a statement that the organization extends its deepest condolences to the Piscotty family. The loss of Gretchen, she was a devoted wife and mother whose legacy will live on through her husband, Mike, and their sons, Stephen, Austin, and Nick. So very, very sad. Our thoughts certainly with the Piscotty family. Hopefully they're finding peace through this moment.
It's heartbreaking. Yu Darvish donated $10,000.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. 888-957-9570 is the number. We got an awful lot. We will give you the very latest on what's going on in the NBA. It looks like the Philadelphia 76ers may survive to fight another day. Gian will have an update for you, and we'll be back at it in a moment on 95.7 The Game.
Woo! Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Dario Saric, your Sixers leading scorer tonight with 25 points. Raise your hand if you had that one at home, right? 103-92, we got a final from the City of Brotherly Love. The Sixers have survived their elimination game in Game 4. There will be a Game 5 of that series moving back to Boston. Celtics spit the bit in a chance to close out the Sixers tonight. Will the Cleveland Cavaliers do the same thing? The Cavaliers are looking to eliminate the Toronto Raptors tonight. The Toronto Raptors have been beaten. It's been three such savage defeats that I seriously, if the Raptors decided to just forfeit tonight and not show up, I wouldn't blame them. I mean, God. The very latest from LeBron, among the very best we've ever seen to wrap up a game. Sound courtesy of ESPN.
It's going to be James. Sure.
Here it is. It's under, it's
3 seconds to go. Throws up the floater. Oh, good night, Cleveland. That is for you.
That is for you. Another signature moment in a career that's got quite a few of them. So we'll see if LeBron can officially punch his ticket back to the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Boston obviously would like to get back there, too. The fact that Boston might get back there without Gordon Hayward, who, again, had a savage broken leg before the team called a timeout this season. And Kyrie Irving just being shut down. This is pretty amazing. You got, basically, you got one hell of an individual talent in LeBron pulling the nameless, faceless Cavaliers along with him, and you got one hell of a coach in Brad Stevens pulling the near nameless, faceless Boston Celtics along with him. This is talent versus coaching. Could set up to be a very interesting Eastern Conference Finals. Western Conference Finals could start on Monday if the Rockets and Warriors handle their business tomorrow. Rockets and Jazz, that tips off tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Houston up 3-1. Golden State up 3-1. That tips off 7:30 tomorrow night. You said you had a little more information about the parking nightmare tomorrow over at the Coliseum?
Yeah, so if you want to get there early, parking gates open up at 3:30. So maybe tailgate with the family if you're going to go to the A's game or the Warriors game, because it's going to be a madhouse out there with all the cars, with a 7:05 first pitch, a 7:30 tip off for Warriors. So mass transit, Bart's going to be your friend, carpool. Or get there early. 3:30, parking gates open.
This public service announcement brought to you by not pulling your own hair out. Feel free to not pull your own hair out tomorrow and plan ahead. So every now and then something happens on Twitter that either like sends me running towards it or away from it. Like it's a shame, but if LeBron James hits a game-winning shot, I avoid Twitter for at least an hour because I have to listen to all the, oh, he's so much better than Michael Jordan, which he's not. And I need to listen, and I still have to listen to like a, oh, you know what, he'll never be Michael Jordan, which I'll tell you he's closer to than anyone else has ever been. Like, I just don't need this, where is he in the all-time debate in the middle of the man's career, which is still happening and in front of my very eyes, and the people who go out of their way to hook their careers to LeBron, either exalting him or disparaging him. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. I'm so proud that we don't do shows like that, Gianna. I'm so proud of whatever it is we do, that we don't do it like that. That we're not that type of carnival barker. I'm not saying I'm not a carnival barker, but I'm not that type of carnival barker. But I now need you to get to Twitter, and I need you to follow the picture that I just saw from Mina Kimes, who is a writer. So tonight is the big New York Met Gala.
Mm-hmm.
So if your wife is a model, you're going to the New York Met Gala. That's just how it works. If you're dating a model, you'll be at the New York Met Gala. There's a lot of athletes at the New York Met Gala because sure. of that rule. It is the outside of the red carpet of the Oscars, the equivalent of the Who's Wearing a Sexy Dress Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. And the point is to be incredibly creative with what you're wearing on the red carpet. So you're going to see things that are a little out there.
Right. It's very avant-garde design because you're going to a museum's Met New York avant-garde.
Avant-garde.
You like that, don't you?
I do.
So Giselle is there. Giselle is wearing an unbelievably gorgeous dress with a slit up the leg, cut to her
upper thigh.
I believe the technical word is vagina.
Okay.
I mean, it is an aggressive slit up the leg. It's a really good-looking dress, and she's rocking the hell out of it. Tom Brady is dressed like the magician who does the, we're not allowed to tell you how the tricks are done, but this one masked magician is going to ruin all the magician's secrets, Fox specials. Without the mask.
He has this weird golden embroidered applique on a black tuxedo with a black turtleneck. It's supposed to match Giselle's dress, I guess.
Well, the embroidering does. So it says, Tom Brady looks like he's about to ask a room full of people to suspend their disbelief and just for a moment believe in the power of magic, but for one night. And it is the truth. Gosh. You know, it's one thing if you dress well because you finally have a woman in your life dressing you. Like, my wife's done a nice job with me going to events. I'm probably dressed a little bit better just because I got my wife going, yeah, this, that, the other thing. And no point did my wife turn to me and say, you know who you should dress like? Did you ever see Flash Gordon? You should dress like Ming the Merciless from Flash Gordon. That's the look you should be going for tonight. Max von Sydow's Ming the Merciless. You don't have to necessarily wear the plastic thing on your head, but from neck down, all Ming.
Go for it. That's funny. No, but that's the crazy stuff you see on the red carpet sometimes. J-Lo is there as well.
A-Rod is there as well.
But he's keeping it pretty simple with an all-black tuxedo with the black bow tie.
So he's not dressed like a magician?
No, not dressed like a magician.
All right, so Tom Brady is dressing like a magician tonight. And I'm just going to tell you, sure, his wife is encouraging him, but you got to put that jacket on. Like, eventually that choice is yours, Tom. You should have demanded that jacket be run out of town like another backup quarterback.
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
That jacket may have been the jacket that got Robert Kraft's girlfriend pregnant. That's how unnecessary that jacket is. God. All right, back to the business at hand. More important things. If you're an A's fan, you had a great weekend. If you're a Giants fan, you had a great weekend. And if you're Johnny Cueto, I guess you got the best news that you're going to get this baseball season. If you go see Dr. James Andrews and he's not pulling out a scalpel with your name on it, you had yourself a good day. Johnny Cueto will not need elbow surgery. He will miss at least 6 weeks here recovering and resting. But Dr. James Andrews told the right-hander surgery's not necessary. He's recommended the rest. Cueto's got a major league leading 0.84 ERA. He's on the 10-day DL. Bruce Bochy acknowledged that there was some pain in that elbow. It's definitely in there, and it's still there. Hopefully a little rest can make it go away. No surgery. When's the last time the Giants got any good news, right? Feels like the first bit of good news of the year. Take all the good news you can get if you're a Giants fan. A's fans, good news. Dallas Keuchel, he's not really struggling, but he leads the American League in losses. Hopefully the A's can keep a good thing going, win four in a row here. They're 18-16 now on the season, and we are about a half an hour away from an A's dugout show tonight here on 95.7 The Game. Of course, very, very sad story about Stephen Piscotty's mom passing away. In another story that I encourage you to read if you love a really well-crafted, thoughtful, heartfelt sports piece, especially if you're a Niner fan, you have to read a story called The Last Huddle by Chris Ballard in Sports Illustrated. It's about how Eddie DeBartolo started calling former teammates of Dwight Clark's and asked them to come to his ranch in Montana for a weekend of goodbyes. You know, when you are diagnosed with ALS, the only thing you can hope to do is comfortably live out your days surrounded by loved ones. There is no cure. There is no getting better. There is no mercy spared to anyone who suffers from this. It takes your ability to move, communicate, speak away quickly. And it's horrific. This piece written by Chris Ballard really is some next-level sports writing in a world where if you're tired of short tweets and looking for a little long-form storytelling, I can't recommend this to you enough. The Last Huddle, Chris Ballard, Sports Illustrated. If you're a Niner fan and you haven't read it, you should. Just a sampling. This is about Dwight Clark, who's suffering with ALS. Throughout, Clark put on a brave face, but ALS is a merciless disease. No cure exists, and it wastes little time. Systematically shutting down body functions, Clark is now confined to a wheelchair. His once boisterous laugh has dimmed, if not his smile. Originally, DeBartolo had planned a summer event. Better, he now decided to hold it in late April. So on Saturday, April 22nd, 27 men, former coaches, staffers, teammates, descended on Whitefish, Montana. A dozen came from the Bay Area on a DeBartolo private jet. Plummer and Dwight Hicks flew together from Southern California. Garrison Hurst came in from Atlanta. Kevin Gogan drove 7 hours from Washington. DeBartolo, as always, picked up the tab. Brought in everyone to say goodbye. A plan that he had for later on in the year, they had to accelerate because things are going fast on Dwight. And look, sports are where we go to get away from things. Sports are where we go to alleviate our concerns of things. Every now and then, sports gives you an opportunity to realize that no matter who you are, no matter how much money you've made, no matter how famous you are, you deal with things like this. It becomes an incredibly human moment really fast. In the same way you would have your family and loved ones and your colleagues rally around you, it's the same way the Niners are doing this for Dwight Clark. And like I said, the story is beautiful and heartbreaking all at the same time.
I'm sure it meant so much to him, too, to have all his friends there with just a lot of love and a lot of friendship around.
Absolutely. That's tough. Absolutely. I urge you to read it. It's really, really fantastic. So it looks like as we get closer to tomorrow night's what we all feel will be an elimination game for the New Orleans Pelicans, the Warriors are going to have to start focusing on Houston. But really, what they need to do more than anything else is just focus on themselves. Not even who their starting five is, not even who their end of the game five is. It's just about focus. Not who is in the game, but when you're in the game, you're focused.
You know, the lineup worked or whatever, but it's not about the lineup. It's really not. I mean, it's about how hard guys play and how focused they are. And the effort at both ends tonight was night and day from game three. And I thought our guys were just dialed in.
Yeah, they were dialed in from the jump. They looked phenomenal right from the get-go. They overwhelmed New Orleans. They did it offensively. They did it defensively. Draymond Green.
I think the defense was great early on. Like I said, we got stops. AD was able to get going there a little bit. But that's, you know, that's going to happen. He's a great player. But when you can shut everyone else down the way we did to start the game, you know, it really sets the tone. And so just to go out there with that mindset, we knew that if we go out and get stops, it'll get our offense going. And what that'll do is allow us to continue to set our defense. And, you know, that was key for us in building that lead to start the game. And, you know, we was able to hold on to it throughout.
Now, Draymond, he's up at 4 a.m. He's sending text messages to teammates. He's sending long, to be technically correct, long ass, as described, long ass text messages to Kevin Durant, looking to inspire him to come out and be more aggressive in game four. Maybe all of those late night texts got to the coach because we all saw the starting lineup.
I mean, I kind of figured, you know, before Steve said it, that that's what would happen. And so it wasn't a surprise. But, you know, I think it really set the tone for this game. You know, we flying around on the defensive end to start the game, pushing the tempo on the offensive end. And I think, you know, we got out to a 17-4 lead or something like that. And so, you know, it really showed up for us and great adjustment for us.
Which is sure. The old speaking it into existence. Maybe he's texting it into existence. I'm just going to tell you right now that when the Golden State Warriors play like that, they will not be beaten by anybody. And it's to the point where really here we are. The lesson is this. A focused Warrior team will not be beaten. I don't think anyone out there is going to outplay them. I don't think Houston playing its best basketball can beat the Warriors playing their best basketball. Don't think it can happen. They didn't even play their best game. Didn't even play their best game against New Orleans, yet it's the best game they've played as a team since eliminating Cleveland in the NBA Finals a year ago. They were phenomenal. They can only beat themselves. I really believe that. It's back to the point where we now have to go ahead and we start, I don't want to say taking things for granted, but we start assuming what we sound arrogant assuming when they're losing at home to Memphis in February. That's when we talk about, do we need to be worried about any of this? I really don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I just know that when you're getting beat at home by Memphis, you shouldn't be cocky. You can be cocky again.
We're back there.
You can be cocky if you're a Warriors fan, because when they're playing like this, there is no stopping this. Draymond Green hitting his shot, you're going to lose. Andre Iguodala's got active hands all over the court, you're going to lose. Kevin Durant's taking it over to the left shoulder, the right shoulder. He's going baseline. He's coming through the lane, down the lane. He's hitting the three. He's got the stop, pull up three. Steph is hitting the corner three. Yeah, you're going to lose. You lost by 26 points. Klay Thompson didn't even hit shots. Klay Thompson hits a few more shots. You're losing that game by 30 easily. Easily. When they are focused, nothing's stopping them. And we're right back to that setting. It's nice. It's that darn switch we kept on talking about. Oh, we love talking about the switch.
Hit the switch!
Well, what do you know? That's all they really had to do. And they win when they want to. They win when they feel they have to. And let's be honest, they didn't feel like they had to win Game 3 to win this series. And they're about to prove to us that they didn't have to win Game 3 to win this series. So they're not going to. They didn't have to win it. So they weren't invested emotionally into it, and they just rolled the ball out there, and what do you know? The Pelicans were totally invested in saving face in this series, not being swept. The desire to not be swept trumped the Warriors' desire to sweep. Draymond didn't like that, texting everyone at 4 a.m. Now they're going to come home, and I don't think they're going back to New Orleans. As a matter of fact, I'm very comfortable saying this thing's not going back to New Orleans. And if it doesn't, Gianna, if this all sets up and we really see the Warriors and the Rockets both advance out of their semifinals tomorrow, the Western Conference Finals would start Monday.
I think we're ready for that.
Monday in Houston. If the Warriors win Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals Monday in Houston, folks, I don't know where to tell you. I don't know where we're going to sell you drama. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'll try. It is my job. I'll do my job. But if they come out, let's just say the Warriors come on out and they kick the Rockets square in the nuts in Game 1. What are the what? Seriously, you're going to be like, well, you got to look out for that pick and roll with James Harden and Clint Capella. No, you don't. No, you don't. You just went into the Toyota Center. You won by 20. D'Antoni knows it's over already.
So they sweep the Rockets if that happens?
If the Warriors win Game 1, they might sweep the Rockets. Yeah. By the way, Chris Paul, he's not ready to start getting his chest all puffed out. He knows what 3-1 looks like. He's been there before.
It's the process, man. I've been here before 3-1. Bad real quick. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. We're just enjoying the process.
If the Warriors were a convincing America's laughing at the Rockets on Tuesday morning winners in the Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals, it would be rough for Houston to believe it again. I mean, it really would. If the game you played as hard as you've ever played in a regular season all year long. Yeah, well, you say, well, you really played it to have Game 7. Yeah, well, you played it to have Games 1 and 2 in your barn as well. If you can't deliver on Games 1 and 2 in your own barn, when will you be beating the Warriors? You know, that's what the Toronto Raptors thought. The Toronto Raptors, they felt all kinds of good about their regular season. Look at us, eh? We're the one seed, eh, guy? Hey, buddy, we're the one seed.
As is, of course, the tradition.
Yeah. Where'd that get him? Where did that get him? Right now, 15-12, Cleveland leading. Could be the sweep game sends them on home. The Toronto Raptors will be the team that cried wolf if they go home swept. And if the Rockets don't really make a series of next series, if it doesn't go 5, 6, 7 games, I'm not saying blow it up, but you need more. Mm-hmm. You think you built something that is going to take care of you. You're going to know that you need more. You probably know that you need more right now. Meanwhile, the doomsday device has revealed itself. Kerr today at practice, I guess, mentioned we're going to get it again. Is that what Sam Amick said?
I believe so.
All right. Let's start tomorrow with a little death lineup.
Yeah, the Pelicans, if that happens, would be like, oh, man, we should just go home.
Yeah, that's
just
good.
Just pack it up.
Well, that's the thing. When the Warriors are at their best, you considering quitting is part of the game plan. Like, that's what the Warriors want, where you just see the look on those faces. Like, did you, after LeBron hit the shot, the floater off the glass, did you see the Raptors bench? Did you see it? They look like a whole bunch of kids just been told that their Christmas tree was burnt down by Santa Claus.
So sad.
Not only did you not get presents, but Santa came down the chimney and burnt your tree down. You get nothing. You don't even get the tree.
That's horrible.
That's what the Raptors look like. They look like a bunch of sad Canadians. Like, oh, guy. Oh, man. I don't know, buddy. Probably should have double-teamed him, eh, guy? That's right, friend. You should have done that. Seriously, I can't take you seriously ever again. I'm sorry, but that's the way it works.
Seriously.
No, seriously. I will not take you seriously ever again. The Raptors could go 82-0 next year. They're not going to get past Cleveland. Write it down. Get used to it. Believe in it. How about this? in the least covered, but one among the more interesting tidbits from the weekend. As you all know, Matt Ryan, who just got paid a five-year, $150 million deal, he'll be the first league $30 million a year quarterback in the NFL, $100 million in guarantees. Adam Schefter tweeted that Matt Ryan became the NFL's first player to ever land a $100 million guarantee last week, and then went undrafted in the ESPN Way Too Early Fantasy Mock Draft.
Wow.
You know, there's one of those things like where you say, well, fantasy football and real football are two totally different things. And, well, when you're talking about the position of quarterback and you're spending $150 million on a guy and he goes undrafted, not by like a group of your drunk friends in Yahoos, but by the experts like at ESPN,
that's
officially saying something. We're going to get you out to a little A's baseball early next hour. The defending champs are here. One more time, we will say au revoir to the Donskoy and the Sharks here on the Damon Bruce Show. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Thanks so much for spending your Monday afternoon with us. We're going to get you out to a little A's baseball. The world champs are in town, the Houston Astros. I still can't believe I say that out loud, and I'm not wrong. The world champion Houston Astros are in town to take on the A's in an American League matchup. I still can't believe I'm saying that. Here's a man to help me sort it all out, and I haven't talked to him in a really long time, so I am very happy to welcome on back John Morosi. You can see him on MLB Network. You can see him over on Fox Sports. And you know what? We'll even talk a little deking around the Stanley Cup playoffs as well with our pal John Morosi. John, good to have you on, buddy. How are you?
Damon, doing outstanding. My pleasure to be on the show. This is a fantastic time of year. Maybe the best of them all. You got baseball really getting going, and of course, NBA, NHL playoffs happen. So lots of great stuff to talk about.
It is a really good time. The Sharks were the only team that did not cover the load this weekend because, let's see, Warriors won very convincingly yesterday, and we've also seen the A's and the Giants come off sweeps this weekend. So right now, things are pretty good in the Bay. Let's start with even good news in the Bay. No surgery for Cueto. He'll be out 6-8, but avoiding Tommy John, that may be the best piece of news the Giants have got all year.
It really is very encouraging. Now, of course, the question is going to be how effective will he be with the returns in potentially a couple months' time, but certainly it's not the worst-case scenario, and for that, the Giants should be thankful. Really, Damon, I look back and say it's pretty remarkable. If you were going to tell me that Cueto would be on the DL right now, that Samardzija would miss time, and Bumgarner wouldn't have thrown a pitch by now, and the Giants would still be right there in the mix, above 500, in fact, four games above 500 right now, I would have been surprised. But I think that's a credit to Bruce Bochy, the credit to the likes of Ty Block and Stratton, who have really kind of kept this staff together. So, and, of course, a very strong start there from Brandon Belt. So I'm seeing encouraging individual performances, and if they could find a way to get Bumgarner back here in the next several weeks and get him healthy and then have Cueto join around the All-Star break, they should be in good shape. But I still wonder, Damon, would they make a run or at least have an inquiry a bit on Matt Harvey with him being available there with the Mets? I think he is one possibility for a team that really has to add and look at all the healthy starters that they could possibly consider.
In as short as possible an answer, and it's really not a short answer, but what went wrong in New York for Harvey? It seemed like when he was extended in that World Series game, he gave up the lead, was never the same. I know he's been dealing with injuries, and when the press in New York turns on you, it's hard to turn back into the sunshine. What went wrong?
It's a great question, Damon, and I think there were multiple things. Number one, the health you have to look at, the thoracic outlet syndrome, the Tommy John surgery. There are some pretty real health things that happened there. The fastball has not quite been as lively as it once was, which I think created a loss of confidence. And a big part of Matt Harvey for a long time was the bravado, the dark night. He was pitching, of course, in New York, not far from where he grew up in Connecticut. It was a big part of his identity. And I think once the success left him, I think he lost a bit of his identity. I think also off the field, candidly, there was the day he was supposed to be there last year. He did not show up to the ballpark. There was even a report recently that he was out socializing, let's say, the night before an outing, which did not surprise the Mets general manager, Sandy Alderson. So I think that he has to maybe get his priorities lined up a bit better. But I think the talent is still there for a pitcher who still has, I believe, the third worst ERA in the majors since the start of 2016 among qualifying pitchers. So he has to really find a way to reassess where he's at as a pitcher, as a person. But I believe there's still some talent in there.
Meanwhile, since we're just talking about New York, Yankees, huh? Jeez.
Whew. David, I tell you what, tomorrow night the Red Sox and Yankees begin a series, and this is a great nugget that was unearthed by our Zach Lupik at MLB Network this week, that they're going to begin this series, Red Sox-Yankees, with the two best records in baseball. The last time that happened for a Sox-Yankees series after the 1st of May in any calendar year was in 2002. Now, you and I, we both spent some time there in the Northeast, enough to say that the rivalry may never quite get back to what it was before the Red Sox won that World Series in 2004. I believe that's the case. But I think that it's really renewed with the young talent that you've got in New York, Stanton and Judge and now Gleyber Torres with the walk-off and Duhar. There's just so many key figures there, great characters there in pinstripes. And now the Red Sox, they add J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts playing like the MVP. I believe all things considered, Damon, this is the best we have seen this rivalry, at least potentially, since those years when they were going at it before the Red Sox and Yankees ended up meeting there in those two back-to-back ALCSs. So I'm excited as a baseball fan. This is no East Coast bias here. I think it's just great baseball, great personalities, great for the sport to have this rivalry back on top.
We're talking baseball with our great friend John Morosi here on 95.7 The Game. So when Jed Lowrie is named American League MVP a little bit later on this year, will it be the biggest surprise in American League MVP history or not? I mean, this guy's on fire.
It might be, but right now, Damon, as you say this, Jed Lowrie leads the major leagues in runs batted in. Again, things that we did not see necessarily happening. But
actually, I had that. If you're scoring at home, yes, Jed Lowrie, RBI leader.
our friends in Vegas, in addition to anticipating the Western Conference Final, are eagerly anticipating your arrival there for to cash in that bill there, because that's going to be a pretty impressive earnings with that wager on the AL MVP and of course the MLB RBI leader. But I think he has figured out the durability side of things for a long time. He's battled injuries. I think he's got that really under control now. He has learned. He has, I think, spent so much time just studying the pitching now. He's just got a really great, I think, a storehouse of knowledge now about the staffs in the American League. So I give him a lot of credit. I think he's really made himself into an all-star caliber player. And it's taken him some time, but there's a switch hitter who really he can't go wrong, because either he's going to finish the year on a contending A's team, or if they're not contending at the deadline, he is about as clear of a trade deadline candidate as you're ever going to see. So I think a lot to like with Jed Lowrie right now. Congrats to him and his family. He's really put together a very nice season there.
Speaking of a lot to like, Sean Manaea.
Yes. I tell you what, that A's pitching staff, one of the many reasons why they've overachieved so far. Manaea, again, we talk about all-stars, he belongs. Based on the very early going here, if he keeps this up, if even he regresses a little bit, his numbers are still going to be worthy going to Washington, D.C. there in mid-July for the Midsummer Classic. So, again, I think he's just shown better command. Secondary stuff has improved. Of course, we know about the no-hitter and what he did there, but to me, he's just really put together a lot of things. I'm really encouraged by what I'm seeing from him. And, of course, I love the combination of the old and the new, Damon, on this Oakland pitching staff. Manaea alongside Cahill and Anderson. It's as though we're back to the early part of this decade. All things old are new again, and the A's are exceeding expectations, probably by about as good of a margin as anybody else in baseball right now.
Brett Anderson going tonight against Dallas Keuchel. Again, the defending World Series champs in town for the A's. We're going to get you out to pregame in a matter of moments. We will not be getting out to any more pregame or any games for the San Jose Sharks. The season has come to an end. If the Las Vegas Golden Knights skate for a Stanley Cup this year, where would that rank in the history of unexpected sports happenings?
Well, as I was talking with of course, all of our closest personal friends on Twitter last night, as we were talking about what the Golden Knights had done, the reminder came to me that Leicester City in the Premier League might be about the most recent example of an upset on this level. I mean, listen, it's amazing, Damon, that we have seen in the NHL history two previous expansion teams win two rounds, but really the playoff format wasn't at all the same. This is really something without precedent in the history of professional hockey on this continent. I mean, it is to that level. So I know it's tough for the Sharks fans, and certainly the uncertainty now about Joe Thornton, what his future is going to be. But this was just a remarkable team that I think is playing on belief, that they're led by a very good coach in Gerard Gallant, who's got them believing and playing, I think, a very free and very aggressive system of hockey, which I think is just fantastic to watch. A lot of great puck movement. So it's just a team right now, Damon, that appears to be almost unbeatable, although I think whoever they face in the next round, Nashville or Winnipeg, who is playing such great hockey right now, will be a tough matchup. But even saying that, what the Golden Knights have achieved so far is really a story that we're going to be telling, I think, for the rest of time, as long as hockey is played, as one of the great stories in hockey history.
Look, if the Astros can be defending champs, if a 16 seed can beat a 1, maybe this can happen too. John Morosi, love talking sports with you, buddy. Thanks an awful lot.
Damon, it's always a pleasure. Love this time of year, and all the best to you and your family, and great to catch up again.
Thank you so much. John Morosi here, and thanks to him. Thanks so much to Sam Amick and Tim Roy as well. Gianna, always a pleasure. Bouton Vixon, merci beaucoup, c'est si bon. Nick, thank you very much. Nick is in for Albie all week long. We are in very good hands. Thank you very much, Nick. We're going to be talking to you tomorrow, coming up at 3 o'clock, right? We're going to get you ready for a little Game 5, Warriors and Pelicans tomorrow. Coming up next, though, we've got, like I said, the Houston Astros in town. A's baseball right around the corner here on 95.7 The Game. In the meantime, remember, sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
It's better to have Donskoy and lost than to never have Donskoy at all.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.